CliffCentral.com. Yes! Hello, everybody. What's happening this Tuesday morning? You ready? December's just around the corner. It's right there winking at you. December's going, hello. Ready for a break?
No, December's in the corner with its finger up just... calling you
finger
closer.
Up
no.
Wow, see, you've got some pretty unhealthy relationships with December.
Yeah. Just luring you close, okay? Come on.
Oh, right, you mean like drawing you in. Mm. I like that. Oh, December's the best. All right, so we're here. It's hello, my name is Gareth Cliff. This is Leanne Moll.
Hello.
This is Sia Sangweni.
It is he.
And Nolo Healy is on her way into the studio to answer your calls. 0861-555-189. Do we like this new arrangement with Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays and Fridays being all different? I think we like it.
Yeah.
Would you?
I'm getting good feedback from people. People are sending me emails saying they like it. Seems to be working for everybody, and that's good news. If it's not working for you, let us know. We're not going to change it because of one person. But
no. You'll need to rally up some friends.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We'll put it in the suggestion box.
Right. Thank you very much. Oh, we've got such an interesting interview today at 8 o'clock. I sat down yesterday afternoon and spoke to Mark Oppenheimer, who's an advocate. He's just been involved in a big free speech case, the Velapi Khumalo situation, where he – remember there was that – The Penny Sparrow thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this feels like ancient history, but it's 2016. Penny Sparrow said that thing about black people being monkeys on the beaches.
Yeah.
Then this guy called Velapi Khumalo, who worked for the Department of Sport, he said, well, really we should do to white people what Hitler did to the Jews. And it became this whole thing. Anyway, the South African Human Rights Commission took him to the Equality Court, and Mark Oppenheimer was the advocate for them. And, of course, they won. Just recently, the judge gave a verdict in that respect, and it's a very good judgment, and we went through it. And I think anyone who's interested in free speech or hate speech, and you're not sure about where the definitions lie, because there are a lot of gray areas, and this case has helped to clarify a whole lot of stuff, too. So you must listen to that after 8 o'clock this morning. It'll hopefully make your day a little more interesting. And then next time someone talks shit about whether or not it's free speech or hate speech, you'll be able to answer them definitively.
Mm.
You know, it's so nice in life to have,
yes,
to know.
Proper guidelines.
Yeah, to know, instead of to go, oh, well, your opinion counts and my opinion counts, even though they're polar opposites, so let's just agree to disagree, which I hate. I hate that saying.
Mm-hmm.
You can't agree to disagree. It's a terrible thing to leave something. Someone's got to win.
Okay.
Well, I mean, take a listen and you can decide for yourself. Anyway, it's 6:08, bright and early on a Tuesday morning. Loads of things to talk about this morning, lots of things to do, people to see, and you can call us anytime you want. You can also message us 0797482090.
It was a very busy Monday.
Yeah, what did you get done yesterday? You were here until like 4 o'clock as well.
Well, apart from work, I end up squashing all of the flames happening in the Sangweni household.
Oh, have you managed to see? You sorted out the domestic violence issues.
Yeah. Wow. Can we change the term a bit?
But by this, I mean the broader definition of like people not exactly getting along.
Yes.
This is a big spat.
When we last checked in on the Sangwenis, you know how they do those reality shows? When last, and they always have like piano music playing in the background as if it's, as if there's something going on.
It's more like the recap from yesterday's Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, it goes like this. It goes, when we last checked in on the Sangwenis, Sia had decided not to attend Christmas. The rest of the family were very upset with him, but managed to contain themselves for an entire day. We now rejoin the Sangwenis as Sia tries to make amends. So what happened?
I've unblocked my father. That's a positive, constructive start.
Did he even realize you'd blocked him?
Yes, he did, because once I've unblocked him, he sent me crying emojis.
Aww.
Lest we forget this is a 60-year-old man. But let's move past that swiftly. And then we were...
Sia's father cried and cried and cried, unbeknown to Sia, into his pillow and into his tissues all night long.
Oh, his handkerchief. He still uses gross handkerchiefs.
My dad used to use those up to about 20 years ago.
Their snot gets washed with your underwear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, never thought of it that way. He has everything.
Oh, please. You don't think there's worse stuff in the washing? You thought about it?
Oh, no.
You put on socks and you've walked through all kinds of stuff. Yeah, there could be anything in there. Come on. The whole point of washing is that it all gets rinsed and washed and all that water goes away.
And then we drink it.
No, we don't. No. Do you drink your grey water?
No, it gets recycled.
No, well, it just goes straight
into don't think of it that way.
Anyway, but we digress.
Back to the CS bat.
Sorry. As I said, when we last left the Sanguinis, Sia and his father were no longer talking and Sia had blocked him on WhatsApp. When he eventually did remake contact, then Sia's father sent crying emojis. And what else?
And then we all rejoined the family group because it's only dramatic to leave a group when you all disagree.
Yeah.
And once we were all back in the group, we had healthy conversation around the festive season.
Oh.
And they all agreed with me, which works for my ego and also says, y'all should have listened to me from the beginning.
Ah, so you won. See, this is why it's good to win. People like to say everything's conciliation and we can all get together and everyone should have a say and someone has to win.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be a decision made. So what did you win?
The consensus was I'll go down and I'll see them for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. But I now have Christmas and New Year's Eve plans here in Johannesburg. So sorry, guys. They'll just have to, you know, bear with seeing me for 2 days or something. That's all.
My mother, she organizes this Christmas carols thing at her
house.
Oh,
you go quite big at Christmas.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No. My it's all my mom. I mean, I love what she's made. She's made Christmas so special that here I am as a 40-year-old man and I still can't get enough of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like Macaulay Culkin in one of those movies from the 80s.
Well, Macaulay Culkin was left home alone over Christmas, so you don't want to think
that. Example, yeah. Macaulay Culkin. Let's go with some other kid from a Christmas movie.
Something sweet.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was trying to raise with them, though, because my parents, you know, my dad is a priest and he works on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So our Christmas Day has never really had that significance, like, oh my gosh, it's so meaningful.
So what does he go and he goes to church?
Yeah. So, you know, Christmas Eve, he's preparing for a sermon, and then on Christmas morning, my mother and him are at a Christmas service. And
really, is the big time for the priests is Christmas.
Yeah, and then he gets invited to other houses for Christmas lunch. So we see him.
They want to have the priest there.
Exactly.
Right.
So we only see him like Christmas evening for an hour before he says, "I'm tired." We're like, "Okay, good night, bye bye," and that's it. So I'm like, "Nah, that doesn't work for me anymore. I'll spend time with my friends here. I'll start my own new tradition."
Sia Bonga was the preacher's son, and when his daddy would go for Christmas, he'd come to the house where his friends were. He wouldn't spend it with family.
I don't know why I'm even condoning this with the clicks.
It's a terrible song.
That is it.
It was a minister's visit that helped my brother become potty trained.
Excuse me?
What?
Well...
What a beautiful story this is going
to
be.
Our minister used to visit us every so often, and we were just getting him trained on the potty, and he was so excited that he got the timing right. He burst into the lounge where we were having tea and said, "Look, Mom, I'm making a buffy." Pulled down his pants and got onto the potty. And
shat right in front of the priest.
Yeah, same room.
Talk about holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, that is
as weird. I was saying, so my mom goes to a huge amount of trouble for Christmas, and it's made it really special. And I'm always at home for Christmas.
Mm.
So couldn't imagine missing it. And this year, my sister and her boyfriend are going to be away for carols. They're going to be there for Christmas, but the special thing that we do with all the family and all the friends, and it's like 100 people.
Yeah.
So it's a huge
Whoa.
Thing. Yeah. So we do that. Now my sister and her boyfriend aren't there. My brother and his wife are away with the kids.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
So I'm the only one who's there. And obviously because they're not there, my brother and sister, none of their friends are coming. So it's going to be all my parents' friends and then a whole bunch of mine. So it's going to be a weird mix.
Hmm.
Is your mother taking it?
No, she's fine. She's pretending it's fine, but I know it's pissing her off.
Yeah.
You know, if some people really do take Christmas very seriously, and I think that's, you know, it's nice. It's family time. It's what I've always thought it was really special. You get together, you all have presents, put up the tree, have all that Christmas music playing. It's just, it's nice. There's all that Christmas food. So I don't know what's actually happening for Christmas Day yet. I might have to do something.
You see, it's now being passed on to you. It's your responsibility now to start creating these traditions. Now, for me, it's a bit of a train smash because no one has bread in our family. And obviously people have died.
So it's your family shrinking. You said this yesterday.
Yes.
You're becoming a smaller family, not a bigger one.
Instead of staying at home and doing the whole big long table in the pavilion with Christmas feasts, we have now started just going out for lunch.
At least you're not at the point where you're eating asparagus out of a tin.
No, not quite. Maybe next year.
At least.
So, yeah, it's quite scary. There's no excitement of children running around getting excited for Christmas.
Yeah, kids make it all special.
Yes, definitely.
So that's a given. All right, so, I mean, Sia, you're not going to be there for Christmas. You said you have plans. What are you doing for Christmas?
Yeah, a bunch of my friends. Did I say a punch or
you
punch?
You did say a punch.
Okay. A punch of your friends.
A punch of my friends. A bunch of my friends have invited me over because I've been telling them about all of this mess going on. They're like, yeah, relax. You can come and join our family, or like there's a whole group of us as well who are staying in the city for a large chunk of the festive season. So we'll be plotting different things over the break that we have.
You've got a lovely punch of friends.
Yeah, what a great punch.
That's what they do. So we'll probably be listening to Mariah Carey and starting new traditions.
Boy. Right.
Well, she's re-entered the charts already.
She's already back on there with that song. That song comes around every year and everybody goes, oh, that's the greatest.
The top 100 charts, she's already on there.
Always.
It started at the beginning of November.
That song probably makes her more money than any other single piece of music because it gets annual play regardless of whether it's a hit or not.
I wonder if she wrote it, because if she wrote it, then she's also coining it even more.
I'd like to know. Nono, what do you got planned?
Honestly speaking, at this point in life, I have no idea.
You haven't planned that far in advance?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Well, at least that means no responsibilities. That means you can carve out whatever kind of a Christmas you want.
True.
Yeah. So we are going to be doing a little Christmas special, I think probably on the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have all kinds of special guests, and we'll bring in music, and we'll have loads of fun.
Will we sing All I Want for Christmas Is You?
You can.
Okay, thanks. And by the way, Mariah did co-write the song.
Ah, then there's cash in it for her. Big cash.
Along with an American-Brazilian musician, but okay.
Yeah, that song has just gone everywhere, right? Everybody in the world knows that song, even if they don't care about Christmas.
Something about the first couple of chords, that do-do-do-do-do.
No, well, it goes something like that, but not.
A little bit different to that.
Just
a little
bit different.
Squint as you listen to that. That'll sound like
squint
the song.
Squint and your ears will also pull, and then you will be able to hear more of it.
I am a singer-songwriter right now, so you can't be talking to me like that.
Yeah, you've written a song. By the way, I got some feedback on that song.
If it's negative, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I'm going to rather leave it alone. People were pretty brutal about your song. In fact, out of the 20 emails I got, 20 of them were full of hatred.
They
despised your song and thought it was the worst thing they've ever heard.
It's a 100%.
And
response.
One of them is from Nolo.
Can't be our Nolo.
Yeah, she actually wrote to me and she said, I don't know why you didn't just tell me this in the passage, but
yes.
Dear Gareth, I just want to comment on Sia's song. It is the most horrible piece of shit I've ever heard in my life.
What?
Nolo.
No!
Jeez, yes, from your email address.
No!
I don't know why you didn't just tell me.
Did you hit send by mistake?
If you really did receive this email, it's probably from my viewer.
No, it's yours. Yours.
He has access to my emails.
Ungrateful.
Why would a viewer want to get into your... He would just send... He actually did send me one.
Oh no!
A viewer, it says, good Lord in heaven... I have never heard anything so awful as the song Sia wrote and sang, in brackets. Please, 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 for the love of all things holy, do not play that song again, or I will have to kill someone.
Someone's clearly not in the Christmas spirit yet.
So those are two out of the...
You wrote a song inciting violence, Sia. Look at that. Who knew?
I thought it was going to bring on world peace, actually. So
yeah.
Oh well.
Anyway, so yeah, it's a it, just over a month to go. Do you want some good news? Do you want to feel good this morning?
Okay.
All right, listen to this. In 1916, which is 102 years ago.
I wasn't about to try to do that much.
No matter how rich you were, you would not have had air conditioning, TV, smartphones, the internet, good transportation, contact lenses, international food, antibiotics, dental care of any kind, or a high likelihood of surviving infancy. No matter how rich you were.
Some of those things sound really good. The others are, most of them are bad, really bad. What?
But isn't it, I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot of things, right? I mean, it doesn't sound like things that you take for granted now.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think about lenses. Infant mortality. I mean, who thinks about that?
International food.
If a woman got pregnant in 1916, there wasn't a great chance that she or the child would make it. You know? And it didn't matter who your doctor was and how rich you were. I mean, Rockefeller had a doctor. But the fact is, your doctor was only capable of doing a certain number of things because he's a quack. They didn't know how to diagnose most of the stuff.
You certainly weren't phoning him up to get antibiotics.
There was no rock and roll. There was no radio. There was no show like this. There was no birth control.
Mm-hmm.
There were no accurate watches. You couldn't even tell what the time was.
There wasn't that lady in the box going, oh, when you hear the signal.
No. You couldn't even call her. You couldn't go like this. Hey, Siri, what's the time?
It's 6:21.
Thank you.
Imagine.
Imagine living in that time. There was nothing good. And many things, if you're a woman, any kind of minority, you would have had to sacrifice various freedoms and live in a world of far worse intolerance than anything you can imagine today. So if you were a woman, or if you were black, or if you were gay, or if you were any of those things, you were fucked.
Yeah.
1916.
Well, you mentioned there wouldn't be a show like this. I was watching the other day a documentary on the history of broadcasting and how it was a massive thing to even, I think the first time the word gay was mentioned on primetime television was in the early 70s in the United States. And, well, that wasn't even the word. That was a scene depicting a character in the series who was suspected of being gay. And shock, horror, gasp, he turns around in the scene and says, well, the rumors are true. And that was even just a big thing for a spotlight to be shone on the topic of being gay.
And how controversial.
Oh my goodness, yes. And do you remember, what was her name? The child star with the red head. The redhead child star who danced up the stairs. No, way before her time. Who danced up the stairs with the black man hand in hand. And how big that
Shirley
was then.
Templeton?
Yes,
Shirley
I
Temple.
Think that's her.
Shirley
yeah.
Temple.
Oh, just made her really Temple fancy. Said,
you just took her up a level.
Templeton stone fine.
Gay! So imagine if people in 1916 heard us this morning.
They would be horrified. They would burn us at the stake for being devils. Yeah, so just think about this. Rockefeller might have had billions. He might have been richer than any person alive today by
was
those
he billionaire?
Stats. Oh, yeah. He had loads and loads of money. But you wouldn't want to be him.
How did he make his money?
I don't even think he had a flushing lavatory.
Ooh.
I think he had to shit in a pan like everybody else in those days.
In a gazander, it was called.
Gazander?
Because it goes under the bed.
Wait, is that for real?
Apparently,
just imagine that. I mean, this is, you know, we are often look back in history, we say, there's this king who lived in this big castle and had all these amazing works of art in his castle, and he had these mistresses running around tending to his every need, and he ate grapes, and he drank wine, and he lived this amazing life, but he had to shit in a pan. And then push it under the bed and carry on sleeping with the smell of shit under the bed.
Mm-mm. I'd be heaving in my sleep.
Can you imagine? That was how the best people lived, let alone the poorest ones. So just remember how lucky you are to be alive now. There is no point in human history that you would want to swap for now. Yeah. No matter how much you could have had. And this is why I always think that this whole obsession that we have as humans with equality is so dumb. Because even if we're unequal now, we're way better off. The poorest person in the world right now is better off than anyone two generations ago.
Mm.
That is the absolute truth, because even if they're dirt poor, there is a world out there for them that was never there for people in those days. You could walk across a border, and this, of course, it's the Mexican border, because we don't want Mexicans crossing the border. Any other border. Could have walked across the border, and now the world could be a completely different place to the place that you were born in. And you can move. Like, people never used to leave the place they were born in. They just stay there their whole lives.
Well, they couldn't even walk to leave because they had no contact lenses.
They couldn't see. How do you see? You just keep bumping into trees. It's terrible. But there we go. There's a useful bit of info for you this morning. It's from Human Progress, one of the best accounts to follow on Twitter. In fact, the only reason I still go on Twitter, at Human Progress. And you can go and see what I'm referring to there if you want to get more information. Isn't that cool?
Very.
All right. While I was at that wedding on Saturday, this friend of mine went to a concert at Kirstenbosch. They have these all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw a band called Morcheeba from the 90s.
I remember them.
A dance band. It was a black girl and a white guy. And they had a song. And your love takes me high. What was
and
it?
I've given up on Sia singing.
No, guys, in my head it sounds good.
I think that was
Big Calm. No, that was it.
Big Calm was pretty good. It was a nice song. But we'll talk about Big Calm a bit later on, because scientists have found the song that makes people the most calm and relieves the most anxiety. So I'll play
that.
Sure,
they should play that in malls instead.
I know, they really should.
What they are now.
So this is Morcheeba, just in case you don't remember.
Yes.
Anyway, they were there, and I mean, I thought, I hadn't heard the word Morcheeba since 1997 or something. So there we go. And then there was another band there called James. Do you remember them?
Yes, I do, very much. I have their CDs.
Yeah. So they were very good, apparently. So I just love that we've got these little kind of revival bands coming back here for... You know who loves those is Randall Abrahams. He'll go to...
Oh, yes.
He'll go to any 80s or 90s band, even if they've really disappeared. Let's say there are 12 people in the audience. One of them will be Randall.
I went
loves
to
those bands.
1 year ago with Belinda Carlisle heading it up, yeah.
And he was there, right?
Oh, I don't know, but it was... I think what's always shocking is seeing how these people have aged when they get onto stage.
Well, wasn't the Marie Fredriksson from Roxette, didn't have to wheel her on in a wheelchair at some point?
Something like that, yeah.
Jesus. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, none of us are getting any younger.
No.
See, on the flip side, though, I don't like when they come to us as the last resort.
I don't care.
Come to us when you're still hot and happening. We want to see you in your prime as
Like Beyonce now?
Yeah, that's why I've been monitoring her entire team. Now, like, okay, her publicist has landed.
Her art director has landed.
That's what we know most definitely. We know that the Saxon has been booked out for several people. It sounds very stalkerish.
All right, so we got them at the Saxon.
Very stalkerish, but a friend and I are going to go to the Saxon for drinks, inverted commas, on Saturday afternoon. Meanwhile, we're just going to chill in the lobby waiting for someone to walk through.
You think they're
going to
let you in?
Oh, we're being customers.
So, they
just
might,
a maybe.
Might close it down for Saturday.
And there's a dinner happening on Friday night with some of the international artists who are here for the Global Citizens Festival.
You didn't get invited to that?
No, I'm still working my magic. The list is going to get revealed today of who the international artists are, because for security and confidentiality reasons, they haven't released it beforehand. And then very sadly, Oprah's mother has passed away.
Oh, so she's not coming.
Her makeup artist has landed in the country.
Well,
the makeup artist
that has got to be one of
know.
The worst jobs in the world. Being Oprah's makeup artist. Jesus, you have to carry a lot of equipment. All right, on line three.
Well,
good morning.
We don't know if Oprah's coming.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening, man?
Good. I'm Seth. I'm from Belgium. How are you today?
Yeah. Okay. Your line is really shit from Belgium, but that's okay. What's on your mind?
Again, I was going to talk to you about a previous podcast. You talked about a Facebook post where a guy who had an Indian girlfriend was insulted by another guy.
That's right.
He told me he eats too much curry.
Yeah, that's right. There was a guy who listens to us, and someone saw a picture of him with his girlfriend and said something about, oh, you know, you really like it spicy, or you eat too much curry, or it was kind of like a racist epithet. Yeah,
Gareth. I'm an Indian guy from Berlin, and we get that a lot, and honestly, we are not insulted by that. Curry is amazing, absolutely amazing. If you call me a curry monster, I'm going to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, there we go. All right. So you are speaking now on behalf of all Indians. I'm going to make you're the king of all Indians?
I am. Okay. I'm not the king of all Indians. I'm just a guy, but I'm speaking on behalf of Indian people, white people, black people, all people.
Okay. Awesome. So no offense, just peace and love, peace and love.
Peace and love. And listen, I know I might be playing some serious, but guys, come on. I think we need to, accept us here, but we love curry. That's amazing.
You love curry.
And, you know, people love.
All right. Thanks, dude. All right, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks we needed that cleared up. All right. Very good. There we go. There's a dude calling us to let us know he's the king of all Indians.
He's the muncher of all curry.
Muncher of all curries. He doesn't mind being called that. He doesn't find it racist at all. Thinks it's kind of funny.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
And no anger and no more things to sign. Please, no autographs, please. Peace and love, peace and love from him. Isn't that good?
The king of all Indians.
King of all Indians.
Okay.
How's that, huh?
Okay.
You can call us just like he did. 0861-555-189. But right now, you're in luck, because it's the five things you need to know today.
Ooh.
All right. First things first, Jimmy Money, who's just the most absolutely incredible bullshitter of all time. This guy, how he still gets taken seriously by anyone left on earth is beyond me. I mean, Joseph Goebbels probably said as many nonsense things as this when he was around in the 1930s. That's how much bullshit Money talks. Former head of government communications, Mzwanele Money, has accused the State Capture Commission of bias, saying former public protector Thuli Madonsela should also have been called to testify. He answered questions at the commission on Monday and is expected to return to the stand on Tuesday morning. He says he had expectations of the commission. Oh, really? We had expectations of you too, Jimmy. Very quickly learned that those were a waste of time. Yeah. This commission is supposed to be impartial, fair, and make sure that everybody's treated equally. Money produced a picture of Madonsela with some of the members of the Gupta family. He said, now you see how childish this is. Mm. It's like if you were in a picture with the Guptas. For all I know, I might have been at some dumb event with one of those fat Guptas. I might have a picture with them somewhere for all I know. I don't think about that. I don't know it for sure.
Yeah.
Is this all that you just need a picture with you and them? Jimmy, you were bankrolled by these people. There's a huge difference between being in a picture with them at some state event and actually taking over their companies and running them into the ground, which is what you did. You are the most useless person in South Africa. You were given a whole lot of stuff on a silver platter. You were made head of government communications, which is like sheltered employment for idiots. And you couldn't even get that right. You are such an abject failure. You're a failure in every way. He said, Advocate Madonsela would have been sent an email to invite her to this thing, but I'm not understanding that she's yet to explain as to why she got an email from the Guptas, but everybody else must answer this. Where is the leveling of the playing field? Jimmy, you're a crook and a liar. Thuli Madonsela is one of the people who saved South Africa from the abyss. Get off the pot. He was asked if he accepts the members of the Gupta family were implicated in evidence before the commission. He answered, I don't know. I mean, really. He said no witness who appeared before the inquiry provided any evidence implicating the family. You need to go to jail for wasting public taxpayers' money.
Think about what you've done.
Yes.
Honestly.
Jesus. What a guy, huh? The balls on that guy. WHP's ex-partner and the mother of their son has died. Have you heard about this?
Oh, no.
As if that poor child hasn't had enough to deal with. WHP's son, Leano Kanye, has now lost his mother just over a month after losing his father.
No.
Yeah. Family spokesperson Kululek Onkana says that Lerato Kanye passed away on Monday morning at a Johannesburg hospital. They broke up in 2009. They have not disclosed the cause of her death. On behalf of the family, I can confirm that she passed away this morning. The family's asked for privacy during this difficult period. So that's all we know for now. But sadness piled upon sadness. Mm. Then Nelson Mandela Foundation has met with the EFF.
Oh boy, what fruits came from this meeting?
Well, you heard Praveen has laid a charge at the Brooklyn police station in Pretoria. Now Julius says, well, he's going to lay a charge.
More childishness.
Uh-huh. But anyway, they had a meeting on Monday as part of the Nelson Mandela Foundation's talks to raise concerns about how voters' rights and dignities can be respected. The Nelson Mandela Foundation says it met with the EFF to discuss challenges confronting the country in the lead-up to the election. Monday's meeting was part of the organization's talks to raise concerns about how voters' rights can be respected. The organization's Selo Hatang says it wants an advocate, or rather wants to advocate, for an atmosphere of peace at the polls and to ensure that we understand how we're going to be working together. The EFF is committed to more meetings of the foundation.
Oh, imagine looking at your diary and your calendar. Oh, and you've got an EFF meeting with... With Julius.
I'd call in sick.
Oh.
I used to be excited when I knew Julius was coming in here.
Yeah.
Now I don't want to invite him. I mean, he's welcome to come. Anyone's welcome to come. But I'm just not in a hurry to become a mouthpiece for propaganda. And I don't know how much more interesting stuff I'm going to learn from him. It's all going to be political rhetoric and electioneering and propaganda.
And you don't know what to believe at this point.
Well, exactly. And you know the way they're reacting to this whole... Praveen situation. It makes them seem sort of desperate, like they need to get Praveen out in a hurry because there's information about them and where they get their money and VBS and all of that stuff that could be very, very bad for them. That's the impression I get, and I have no idea of what's actually going on. But you can't believe these guys, right?
Mm-mm.
How do you know who to believe?
Mm.
Western Cape dam levels are at 60%. Who knew we'd be talking like this about the dams in the Western Cape? This time last year, do you remember what dire straits they were in? The average dam levels, 60%. Dams feeding the city of Cape Town have decreased to 70. Last week, they're at 71.8. So the Provincial Environmental Affairs Department has said the major dams are also declining at roughly 1% per week. Well, it's because I was there. I took a long shower. Spokesperson James Brent Sten said, the water demand continues to increase. We're going into the same summer season. We're expecting a lot of visitors. Temperatures are increasing, and therefore we want to urge that water is used as sparingly as possible. So even though they've got pretty good dam levels, it's not going to stay that way. And
pretty damn good levels.
Yeah, pretty damn good dam levels. And Cape Town, of course, is just, there are too many people, right? Just too many people who live in Cape Town. It's not, that place cannot sustain that many people, especially with the electricity and water usage that they currently have. And then the shooter who gunned down two people inside the Durban Magistrates Court, remember we spoke about him, he succumbed to his injuries. According to KZN's police spokesperson, the man who was also a police officer died in hospital. An inquest will be set up. Earlier in the day, the man entered the court and fired out shots at his estranged wife and a man who police said was the woman's brother. So he was a policeman, and he came in to shoot his wife and a man who was clearly her brother. So, you know, people taking their... And then he turned the gun on himself. So, the police opened two cases of murder. Speaking outside the court, the two succumbed to their wounds and died at the scene. And then this guy died as well.
Sure.
So just an ugly, unhappy, miserable situation.
Yeah, nothing's been resolved, really.
No. Except that all three of them are out of the way.
Mm.
Okay, well, there we go. That's the five things you need to know today. Let's get to Sia and see what he's got for us. And then we've got a couple of news stories with Leanne, and we'll take your calls and blah, 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 blah. So, Sia, do you want to handle things?
Yes, I do.
It's time for Said by Sia.
Oh, I love this one. I really do.
This is about Oprah's makeup artist with her trowel and her plaster.
Her big bag of sand.
Yeah.
Can I give you guys a moment?
And a spray can.
Can you contain yourselves?
Have you ever seen Oprah without the makeup?
Yes.
Okay, because then you know what I'm talking about.
For 64 years old?
That makeup artist gets danger pay.
That's a good 64.
No, but
64.
Even at 20, she's...
I will not let you go down this road.
Okay.
She's a lovely person, but sweet Jesus. I'm going to find you a picture, and we're going to put it on cliffcentral.com.
You can go into an Instagram. She was makeupless on Thanksgiving. She looked fresh-faced and gorgeous.
Really?
Actually, this story this morning is about looks for said by Sia, but a community has helped. He's really Googling pictures of Oprah with no makeup. She looks... How do you look with no makeup? Oh, actually, you do. This is you with no makeup.
I don't have makeup. I don't ever wear makeup.
No, those are unflattering pictures of her with no makeup on. Go on to an Instagram, her Instagram. She's usually makeupless on there. That's
just... That's the sable.
Okay, can I focus on my Sebastian story, please? Before we go down that road.
All right, anyway, let's go. Said by Sia.
This story is actually about looks, but a community has banded up and helped someone get his smile back, literally. Jody Storm Falconer reached out to help Elvis, who's a colleague from her work, when Elvis was mugged and lost his front teeth in the scuffle, Aina. And she has now sought assistance from her local Facebook group, and they've all banded up together to help Elvis get a new set of teeth. It's quite odd, but I like the, just the corniness of being able to help someone get his smile back.
It's all he wanted for Christmas.
I mean, come on. Elvis really looks good after this surgery. So Elvis was mugged on his way. Elvis was mugged on his way back home.
Did they steal his blue suede shoes?
No, Leanne. But they did knock out his front teeth and steal some money from him, sadly. And Elvis is...
Sure, that's horrible.
Right? Just imagine a punch to your teeth. And losing them.
Front teeth. Yes.
Yeah. It's clear that Elvis didn't have any medical aid and so wasn't able to take any money out of his own pocket to pay for this. They did reach out to the likes of the Wits Dentist School, which does some free procedures every now and then, but they have a 2 to 5 year waiting list. And determined to help Elvis, Jody set out to contact a few members of their community to see what they could do, and they've able to been able to contribute some cash and being able to give him some dentures. And so now Elvis has been fitted with a new set of teeth. And if you look at the before and after, really the muggers had taken out a whole set of teeth right in front.
Sweet guys. Smiling all proudly in the second picture.
And a young guy, you know, you tend to lose your confidence if something were to happen to you.
And also teeth cost so much money.
Ooh, wee.
Yeah, because you have to pull them out of someone else. Oh, no, sorry.
No,
you just have to.
This isn't hair from Brazil.
No, that's it.
It's not a weave.
So I think it's so cute that his community has helped him literally get his smile back. Yeah, that's his said by Sia for this morning.
Very nice.
And Oprah, I love you. You look good without any makeup on.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that was nice until you started lying.
I
met a girl on Saturday who had a horse kick her teeth out. Can you imagine how sore that is? A horse kicked her teeth
horses
out.
Don't care.
Yeah, you see, I've broken my two front teeth in half.
How?
But to me, kicking them out feels a whole lot worse.
How did
like
you break
the
them?
Fell on my face in the driveway.
So are those real teeth?
They're caps. They're porcelain.
But
caps.
Like you can't take them out?
No, I can't take them. The dentist can. And then I'll just have two little fangs.
Was it really sore when your teeth broke in half?
Well, there was quite a bit of damage to the face as well. I was having a wee in the driveway and the dog came by and pushed me and I lost my balance and fell forward.
That's so embarrassing.
I know.
That is so embarrassing, peeing in the driveway and then the dog knocks you over and you lose your teeth.
I know.
Jeez, you had an interesting life.
The pain was more the nerves, like when you run your tongue over it. Yeah. And even more pain. And even more pain when you have to look at yourself in the mirror and reveal what the damage. And all of a sudden, you look like...
I had a dream once that one of my teeth broke and I was traumatized for like a week.
Hey, doesn't that say something? Jesus. Doesn't mean something?
I don't know.
Falling
people
out in a dream.
Say that. I don't know. So here's a very long question from Anushka for you, Sia. This is very much a Sia-focused point of view that she's brought up here.
Okay.
Sia, what happened to the Finn in your surname is her first question.
We rebranded.
Okay.
Dropped it. Was too much. No, but genuinely it was too much. I already have three long names. Siyabonga Njabulo Nkosenhle, then Sangweni Finn, and then there's always...
I mean, it basically took up all the blocks on the Home Affairs form.
Not even kidding. I've had several forms where I have to draw my own line afterwards to continue on, and then it was a mess with legal documents. So yeah.
Plus, of course, you don't need other people to know that you've got some white ancestors as well.
Yeah, it's confusing. And then people used to think I was married, and then no.
And yeah, and married, because of course double barrels, people assume.
I need to let everyone know that I'm still
available. All right, so the Finn's gone. Next question. I'm happy to hear you made up with the family. I have a rich man I want you to meet.
Oh.
Oh well. Okay. Let's go.
Anushka, let's do this. Give me a 3-month bank statement and I'll deal with the rest.
The year for you is 2019, she says. Mm. You're going to be blessed. The Slay King life is awaiting you.
Oh, I see myself on a yacht in Dubai. There we go.
Slay King. And then how is Black Space doing?
All good. All good.
All right,
thank you.
Just explain to everybody who doesn't know what that is, Sia.
Website that I created as a resource for young entrepreneurs. And you can still visit that and you can fill out your details and.
You connect people to each other to make them more effective in business.
Oh, Anushka's really paying attention.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, thanks, Anushka. But now I need to, you know, you can DM me about that, Anushka. I'm joking.
Okay.
Do you want to know what dreams, teeth falling out in your dreams mean?
Well, yes, it's according to a website.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Come on. May as well.
Literally, according to interpretyourdream.org. It means it could be pointing to anxiety about social repression, sexual repression, sorry.
Oh, wow.
And the desire to be nurtured. It's a disturbing symbol, but also tends to show up in dreams during important moments of transition in the dreamer's life.
All right, well, I'm transitioning to a woman. So that's important. That's what obviously that's right.
They didn't say gender transition, but...
Oh.
Use it, don't use it. Negative and positive meanings. Negative is insecurity, anxiety about social experience, a compromise that is costly to you. Mm-hmm. Life changes and growing pains and fear of becoming older.
Yeah, well, that's definitely...
Is that a constant?
Oh, yeah, that's a problem.
Meanwhile, the positive meanings could be signs of personal expansion, wish or need to nurture yourself more carefully, an invitation to explore feelings of loss or personal growth, a call to look out at your support system, or just times of renewal and rebirth.
Yeah, all right. I don't buy any of it.
Okay.
Let's give it. Michelle, what's up?
Gareth, how's it?
How's it?
I just wanted to find out, or let's tell Leanne, about her story last week with a cobra. So we've got quite a few stories of animals that escape in cars. We've had an octopus climb out of a bucket while on its way to be released. We've had a little snake.
How long can an octopus last outside of water?
They're not too bad. They walk around quite often in the shallow rock pools and that. So it was quite funny because the guy that was releasing him went, I mean, he's hilarious. He was busy driving in Quakey side.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly he had to pull over and pull this octopus off his leg.
Oh, my word.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my word. I would have driven right into the sea.
So, you know, I've heard some very interesting things about octopi. I've heard that they are, first of all, very clever. Second of all, that they're not really related to anything else. It's almost as if they're alien. And they have a very interesting social system. Is that true?
Yeah, they are. I mean, they are very intelligent. We keep our octopus only for about a month, and then we release it back because they do get bored. And they find ways of entertaining themselves, like trying to escape out of their exhibit. So it is something we are aware of.
They get bored.
We also had a snake that escaped that we thought was in the office, which ended up being in my boss's car.
For more than a week,
and he was
also
driving, and the snake landed on his leg while he was
driving. Oh, my word.
And then I had to go and rescue a seal in St. Helena Bay, and then it was in the back seat of the car, and it slipped between the back seat and the passenger seat. And I had to pull over to get the seal back onto the duck seat. It was very funny.
Oh, my. Now, I would have loved.
What the people on the side of the road, what they think of us.
That must, yeah. That must be really hilarious, having a seal.
Did you not put his seal belt on?
All right, okay. Yeah, very nice.
There are animal escapades that are quite exciting. Jeez, with that crew, other than just keeping him hostage.
Wow. Oh, hey,
listen, cool. I need to ask you something. I was in Cape Town over the weekend. Now, I know your aquarium is at the V&A waterfront.
Yes.
But there's another aquarium. It's like a research aquarium.
In Beach Road.
Yeah, I saw that. I walked past it.
It's actually quite amazing. You know where the pool is, the public pool?
Yeah.
The tanks of the aquarium, it's just the research aquarium, actually go under the road there.
Oh.
Sure.
Yeah, it's huge. It's under the... It's quite amazing. We deal quite a lot with them. So if any of my cultures in my lab crash, they have starter cultures that I always go and collect. So we often help each other out. So I usually work with the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries.
Uh-huh.
So they do a lot of research for fish farms and that kind of thing. They help quite a few of our master's students here as well with projects. So, yeah, it's quite cool. You can visit them, but you have to make an appointment.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a bit of a cock tease because you walk past and you're like, ooh, yay, an aquarium. But then they don't let you in.
No, they don't have any exhibits. They're all just water pools and growing out tanks. So they have a lot of breed stock. Like we get our yellowtail and our cob and our grunters from them. So they grow them out for fish farms so that they can develop sustainable feeding programs for the fish. Because you obviously need fish to feed fish. So they started the micro feeding from like algae to little rotifers and artemia to get maximum bulk feeding before they start eating fish.
Hey, does your car still smell like a whaling station?
Very much so. Oh, very much so. It smells great. Like an old fart and tired wood. It's lovely.
And do you still have at the V&A those, I remember walking in and I almost ran out, that exhibit with crabs with the longest legs I've ever seen.
The spider crabs.
Yes.
We did have those.
So it's like
they come from Japan.
Oh my word! Those are very, very scary.
They're so cool. You know that when we get them, they're actually packed dry. They're packed in those like dry moss that you get when you buy flowers.
Yeah.
They're packed like that in and they're shipped dry because obviously water weighs more because we pass for the shipping. But they're packed dry and they've been purged of any food, so they're quite cool. And they just like unravel themselves, like sucked out mango pips. They rehydrate themselves and they get into the tank. They're very cool.
But like to describe the length of their legs, it's like a room being filled with water. They're floating at the top and their legs go to the ground.
Oh.
Yeah, they're like really
long. Yeah, they're quite big. If you take the legs to a carapace, probably about half a meter, depending on the size. We usually have smaller ones. We only have about four on display at any time because they do. When they molt, obviously they get bigger, and they climb out of the back of their shell like a little.
How do you get rid of? I'm still interested. How do you get rid of the fishy smell?
Valane.
Really, and it works.
That's what it works. It really does work. And I have slaves to go and do my kitchen duty, so I don't always smell like sad fish. So
yeah, well, I mean, listen, it's an unfortunate smell. It would be sad, though, if you go for a valet and then the next week you have to pick up a seal or something.
No, luckily the aquarium has cars for that. I actually got a lovely fine in Fredenburg trying to go and collect loose seal.
Have you got those penguins, those funny-looking penguins? What are they called? Macaroni penguins?
The rockhopper penguins with little yellow furry tufts.
Yeah, the rockhoppers, that's the one.
We have them.
You get a macaroni penguin, right?
Sorry?
You do get something called a macaroni penguin.
Yes, you do. They look very similar. They look bigger than the rockhopper, but we don't have any. The rockhoppers that we have are all, they were illegally taken off Marion Island. So they can never be released back there because we have malaria. So the birds have already been exposed, so they can never go back to where they come from.
Shame. So they're also sad rockhopper penguins.
Oh.
No, they're quite happy. They get to waddle around in the aquarium and then they get to go swim outside in the seal pool. So they have a dolly life. They know exactly where they go in the morning and take them out. So they have a chill time.
Very cute. All right. Well, thanks very much, Michelle. There we go.
All right. Take you back.
There's our annual aquarium update as well.
Wow.
Very good.
Oh, how's that?
I see the macaroni penguin now with his little tuft of macaroni on his head.
And the rockhoppers are pretty funny looking too.
Rockhoppers.
I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on the octopus escaping the bucket. I don't know. Oh, just the thought of that slimy leg.
With all those suckers on it?
Wrapped, and those work as like suction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just one leg. It's like they have a million.
Well, they have eight.
Yeah. Octopus.
Octopus.
That's just their legs. All right. Very nice. Lots of things to get to. I mentioned that this band were in Cape Town over the weekend, and this friend of mine went to see them, and she loved them, so I thought I'd play it for you anyway. It's 5 minutes to seven. When we come back, we'll get into some news and other stuff. Proudly SA popping by as well. Talk about some of the proudly South African businesses and the stories behind them. All coming up. CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.